The last two Sundays, we've heard a lot about bearing witness to the power of the resurrection, bearing witness to Christ being alive. This week, we hear about this living word still breaking into our lives, still calling us to focus on different things, inviting our response and our interaction with what God is up to in the world. And we'll hear as this word comes crashing in that it comes often with both challenge and grace. And these seem to be almost inextricably linked, as we'll see for both Saul and Peter today. But before we even get into that, we first see in our readings what happens when we don't listen to Jesus' voice, when we go our own ways, when we are certain we understand what God wants us to do and pursue that doggedly without any reflection. This is what we see going on for Saul, who is absolutely convinced that those who are proclaiming the resurrection, those who are cultivating faith in Christ, are wrong and are blasphemers and are going against God. So he goes to the high priest and he receives letters so that he can go and bind others, taking them back to Jerusalem, presumably based on the beginning of this text, to not only imprison but potentially murder them as well. So thankfully, God interrupts this process. Jesus quite literally knocks Saul off his feet as he's on his way to Damascus and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul has to realize that this action that he was going to take instead of serving God was working against God and indeed was persecuting God's own son. Unfortunately, we can be in the same boat at times when we don't listen to what God would have to say to us. When we cling to our own understanding of the world or our own thought process about how God must be at work, we too can discover that we are working against God. And we may even hear these challenging words from Jesus, "Why are you persecuting me?" We certainly wouldn't want to do this. We don't want to be found in the wrong in this way. And thankfully, it's not always so drastic when we go our own ways and we don't listen. I think the disciples' action overnight reveals to us what happens sometimes when we aren't listening or paying attention to what God would say. Our efforts can just be spent in futility. We're not harming anyone. We're not imposing suffering on anyone, as we saw with Saul. But we aren't getting anywhere fast, that's for sure. We fish all night and come up empty. And as Jesus calls to us from the shore, "Do you have any fish? Have you received anything for all the effort that you've put in?" We'd say, "No, we have nothing. We have gone astray." And then when we hear Jesus, we still hear some challenging words at times. Ananias hears some challenging words as Jesus tells him to go and heal Saul. Ananias has some thoughts about this. He says, "Lord, this is the person who was sent with letters from the high priest to bring your people back, me included, to be imprisoned and maybe even to be killed. Are you sure I should go and heal this man, this one who wants to persecute your followers?" And of course, he hears the message that he is to go, as difficult as that must have been for Ananias. Peter also hears some hard words from Jesus today. Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And we know by the third time Peter is hurt by this. "Lord, you know that I love you." And of course, we know what's going on as Peter is trying to respond to Jesus' question about this perfect love the first two times. And he knows his own love is not perfect. He does not have this agape perfect love for God, but he has the best that he can offer, the philos, the familial love. It's an imperfect love, but it's the best we have. And then when Jesus asks him if that is the level of love, that imperfect love, that philos love, he says, "Of course, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with that kind of love, with all that I can give to you." So he's charged then with feeding and tending Christ's flock. And the final bit of challenge we hear is that this word and this bearing witness to the word of God may lead us to encounter suffering and even death in the world. This is what Saul, really Ananias hears on behalf of Saul, that Saul will have to suffer. And we know from Saul's letters, Paul's letters, that this will be the case. And the same thing is true for Peter. He hears this indication of his own death. A death that we hear will bring glory to God, but death nonetheless. And this path of suffering and death connected to bearing witness to Christ is one that's often difficult for us, and yet it's also a path that we heard about last week. But we continue in our stories and we see the truth. The truth that these folks are willing to embrace this suffering and death because of the inescribable, inexpressible joy and life and love they encounter through Christ's words to them. As this living word comes echoing and crashing into their own lives, they find themselves reshaped, ready to accept these challenges. Now, this is true for everyone in our story. Ananias, the disciples, Peter, Saul, all are willing to follow where this word would lead, recognizing as they encounter it that it is far greater than any challenge or suffering or death that could happen. Ananias leads off for us today. He knows very well that as soon as he heals Saul's vision, Saul could turn right around and handcuff him and take him to Jerusalem. But instead he goes. He goes to proclaim this word that Jesus has shared with him. He goes and not just does this begrudgingly, half-heartedly, but says to Saul, "Brother Saul, you are the one who also has seen Jesus on the road. You know who this is now, and you are connected to us. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ wants for you." And so he heals Saul, and he sees this change unfold. And the disciples listen to Jesus and immediately see the fruitfulness of that. They let down their net on the other side, and immediately it is filled with fish, and they're invited to bring these resources that Christ has given them to share at a meal alongside Jesus, to spend more time together. Peter is willing to follow after Christ, even after having been hurt by these questions of his own love, the questions of how devoted he is ready to continue to seek to feed and tend Christ's flock. He is ready, as we know from the rest of his life, to continue to bear witness to the resurrection, even if that would lead to his death, knowing the life that he has found in Christ. And of course, we see this for Saul as well. Saul, who has encountered this living one, the Saul who has encountered the risen Lord on his way to Damascus, is now forever changed by this encounter. He gets up and is immediately baptized. And then he goes into the synagogues and preaches that Jesus is the Son of God. He bears witness to the resurrection because of the way this word has touched him, and he cannot help but respond. This is our narrative as well. We too are invited to encounter the living word and to be changed in such ways that we could not help but respond, to follow in the footsteps of Ananias, the disciples, Peter, and Saul, to depart from the things that we had been doing that may have been going astray, and to embrace and follow all the more this path of Christ. And we see this great response played out in our reading from Revelation today as well, one that we sang about ourselves in our canticle of praise. And as we sing this, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," this is but the angelic chorus is crying out today that this Lamb who was slaughtered on our behalf is worthy to receive power and blessing and glory and might and wisdom and riches and all the things that could possibly be given. And as they sing this chorus, all of creation responds. Creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth all join in this song. Song that affirms that this Lamb and the one upon the throne, God and the Lamb, are worthy of our praise for what has happened in Christ. So we know that as our lives are changed and transformed by encountering this living Word of God, we too are invited to lift our voices in this response. Today we get to encounter this living word once more in this meal that we share. Here, Christ is calling out to us from the shore and inviting us to draw near for a meal. For some of us, this may even be breakfast. We'll be invited to draw near and have breakfast with Christ, to hear the good news of God's great and amazing love for us and to reflect on our love for God, to see the ways in which we have departed and to know that we have been forgiven and are set back on a right path where we might follow Christ alongside Saul. Here today, we know that this living word continues to speak to us, continues to change us and transform us in ways that we might celebrate and share the love of Christ. And as we encounter this living word, we cannot help but offer up some form of response. And the good news for us is that this word doesn't only come to us once, but it comes to us again and again and again as we gather in the name of Christ, as we encounter our risen Lord in this meal. And it comes to us wherever we are in our lives. So whether we are going to remain in Angola and continue to celebrate and share the love of Christ here as we have before, this word will come to us. And for our graduates today who are leaving and going elsewhere to different jobs, to different journeys, to different places where they may live, they too have the opportunity to continue to encounter this living word of God that will cry out to them and help direct their ways and their paths throughout their lives. And all of us, as we hear this word of God entering into our lives, we recognize the truth that this is still Christ calling out to us. Christ, our risen Lord, is still bearing witness just in speaking to us of the power of the resurrection. And as we hear this good news once more, we must lift our voices with joyful shouts that proclaim, Alleluia! Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed! Alleluia! Amen.